Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny. We'll take you to 6:30 on the Fan. Remember, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, your next chance to win tickets to the Freedom 250 Grand Prix. Show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad.
They're the best. Go and see them. If you need help with things like estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, and so much more, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Spider-Man Brand New Day. I've sang the praises of this film on this here radio program. Really, really enjoyed it. I like everything about it. I thought it was the best of the four Holland Spider-Man movies, and it was kind of the perfect. I don't even know if it's going to be the end because there's a lot of things they could pass off without any spoilers.
Yeah, they could keep going if they want.
And Tom Holland has said publicly that he's ready to pass the torch, and he knows how he wants to pass the torch, essentially, in a future movie, potentially. But it has now grossed $2.02 billion worldwide at the box office. In North America, as of last night, I guess, it was sitting domestically at $786.5 million that it's grossed. Internationally, over $1.2 billion. So that gets you to the $2.024 billion total. The $2 billion club. Eighth film in cinema history to pass $2 billion. The second fastest ever, reaching $2 billion globally in 17 days, second only to Avengers Endgame. Took only 11 days, which is crazy.
That's wild, yeah.
This is Sony's biggest release ever, officially surpassing Spider-Man No Way Home, which was a $1.9 billion venture. You think Tom Holland's doing okay, by the way?
I bet you're doing just fine, thanks.
How about that, dude? So real quick, before we hit the phones and talk Nats, just going through the numbers here on Brand New Day, it's crazy. So I looked up some of these via a Rotten Tomatoes. $70 million third weekend it just had. Still made $70 million in the third weekend that it's been out. It's the biggest third weekend ever for a movie. And if you look at and compare it to some of these other films, it has a chance to far surpass any superheroes, Star Wars, any of those movies. Right now it's on a pace in the United States to do better than any of those films ever. They're expecting the numbers to tighten up a little bit, in Star Wars especially. The Force Awakens, to close in on it because kids are going back to school, so the weekday numbers are going to come down now. But The Force Awakens took 23 days to cross $800 million. Another 27...
Domestically, you mean?
Domestically, to get to $900 million. Brand New Day is going to get to $800 million in 19 days. And then the question is, does the pace slow down enough that it doesn't end up being ahead of Force Awakens? But this is arguably the most successful of the superhero movies ever.
Yeah, it's right up. I mean, Avengers Endgame made just under $2.8 billion. It's second behind Avatar, which still kills me that that stupid movie is up
at
the top.
Tough.
And also another dumb Avatar, which I'll never see, is third. But my hope is that something knocks that stupid thing off its perch. That's really all I care about. Whatever little engine I got to climb up that mountain, put it up there, man. Beat that dumb thing.
Come
That's all I care
Spidey.
About.
Come on, Spidey.
Come on, Spidey. You can do it, buddy.
You got this.
Hulk's in it, everybody. Come on. Hulk's doing stuff.
Use those webs. Shoot those webs,
Here
Spidey.
Here we go. Come on, Spidey.
Hulk's just... That's a good Hulk,
that's Hulk.
That was Hulk.
That was Hulk.
That's what we're looking for.
Not this Nerd Hulk thing.
Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Spencer Nussbaum is with us from The Athletic, covers the Nationals. Spencer, are you a movie guy? Have you seen Spider-Man Brand New Day?
I haven't, but I was really hoping we could continue this conversation. I'm a big Tom Holland guy.
Tom Holland's a stud, isn't he?
Yeah, he rocks. I was workshopping a take the other day that he's kind of our generation's Matt Damon, and then Chalamet is the DiCaprio of the old generation, and it didn't really land, but yeah, I love that guy.
I don't hate that take,
I think it's got legs.
I like that. Here's my issue, though, and it's with Tom Holland, because I like him so much. He is on record, and this could just be words, like you're at a press conference and someone says the thing they're supposed to say, but he is many times over I have seen him say, I'm going to do my thing, make my money, and go, and you'll never hear from me again. Like, he is on record as saying, I want to pack up shop, I want Zendaya, my dog, and playing golf, basically. And, like, he hasn't said when, but he's made it sound like it's fairly imminent, like 10, 12 more years, and then he's going away.
Like, we're not doing a four-decade, five-decade Tom Cruise
thing. He's not
going
to be Denzel in movies. Like, now he turns into somebody's grandpa. Do you buy that? I mean, he basically says that's the way he wants to do it.
No, these guys can never walk away at 30 or 35 or whatever he'll end up, imitating that he'll walk away at. So, yeah, I think he'll be around for a while. But I'm much less well-versed in that take than maybe some of my others.
All right, Spencer Nussbaum, let's get into your Nats takes because those are very good. So you had a really important story in The Athletic that we went through today where you caught up with C.J. Abrams' agent as well as Paul Toboni, it sounds like, and those guys talked about the move to second base. It is not a move, from what I gather, that C.J. Abrams was excited about or took all that well, but he's at least playing ball. So educate us on how this transition is going to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is still TBD, but you hit the biggest bullet points here. Again, there's 100, threads to pull on when we think about the future of this decision. I think the most important thing is to consider is A, are you keeping CJ happy? And B, how much do you care about keeping CJ happy as it portends to a future either extension or trade? Those are all things, again, we can get into. But some of the on-field considerations, whether it's whether he'll play better at second base, I think that's likely, but not a certainty. Whether it'll affect his hitting, I think it could and already has a little bit, but we'll see. Like all these other things are important, but when we think about the big narrative of the Nationals, I think so much of it is about either a trade or an extension in the coming year.
Why'd they do this now?
Yeah, it's a question I've asked and gotten kind of different answers to. I think the clearest answer that I will say that I believe, I think that's the right way to put it, is they believe that you are getting a good sample to maybe clarify what your offseason in 2027 looks like. So for instance, if you wait until this offseason to say, hey, CJ, you're our second baseman in the future, you don't really get a sample of who he is as a second baseman until, 70 games into next season or whatever it is. By doing this now, you get the sample of, hey, we have these final 25 games or so. And this has not been said explicitly to me, but I think we can read between the lines a little bit here. This is chances for other teams to look at him as a second baseman and see what's possible. And I think beyond that, he's been so poor at shortstop that the timing was never going to be perfect. But I think if you talk to some people around the Nationals, they might tell you that it's an inevitability that he's moving over there. And so I think that's why they did it now.
Spencer Nussbaum of The Athletic discussing C.J. Abrams' move to second on Grant and Danny. Does moving him make it more or less likely that he gets traded in 2027?
Yeah, I still don't have a solid answer here to play out, I guess, both sides of the argument. Again, you could say it's an audition for other teams to see him at second base. On the flip side, there's a big downside that his second base defense could be worse than the, mystery box or the question mark. And it still is a relatively small sample of him there. Maybe you read it the other way and you say, hey, like, we want this to be our guy in 2027. We want this to be our second baseman next to Seaver King or Nassim Nunez or whoever it may be, because that's what the models will tell you is going to win you more games. At the same time, then why do you not do it earlier in the season, right? I still think and have thought since last offseason that this upcoming offseason is the most likely time that Abrams will be traded. I just think you look at the timeline of the Nationals, even though it's been moved up, you think about what he might command in a trade. And I just think if I'm the Nationals, I shouldn't say if I'm the Nationals, but I just think that that's the most likely time it happens. And so for me, that's kind of what I would stick with.
Spencer Nussbaum with us here on G&D. Great story about CJ Abrams and his move to second base. So tell me where I'm wrong if you think I am. This, to me, like, if somebody's having the kind of season he's having offensively, you put up with kind of whatever you have to defensively, and you don't rock the boat. Now that they're eliminated, and I think internally they realize, you know what, we're not signing this dude. Whether ownership won't pay, whether it's the lockout that's coming, whatever, we're not in the long-term business, and we don't care if we ruffle the feathers right now this minute. And so that, to me, kind of signed, sealed, and delivered the FedEx slip that he's out the door this winter at some point, assuming they get a good enough offer. Where am I wrong there?
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Spencer, or am I?
Yeah, I want to phrase this carefully because this is not reported per se or not something that I'm going on record of saying. But I've always felt that a CJ Abrams extension was highly unlikely. And I think you're exactly right that this is just another case or another detail explaining why it is potentially unlikely, right? Again, you think about the Nationals payroll and that the fact that they haven't paid players handsomely over the years, you think about what CJ and his agency probably feels that he's worth. You think about the fact that that free agent class has a couple strong options, but CJ might be the one or two in that class. Like you think about all those things. He just strikes me as a player that always maybe would be more likely or maybe smarter to test the open market. And yeah, I think this is just kind of another detail that adds on to the list of reasons why he just feels to me like someone who's unlikely to sign an extension here.
Spencer, I can get down with that and be cool with that if Paul Toboni and his entire staff, the Avengers of the analytics guys from all over baseball, if Ani Colombi comes back and closes the computer and says, I don't want to pay CJ Abrams. Cool. But if it's just that they don't want to spend on him because it starts with a 2 or something, that doesn't work for me. And I wonder how big of a factor is the second part. Like, why shouldn't they try to extend CJ Abrams? Now, I'm not saying at $350 million, but 30 homer, 100 RBI, middle infielders don't grow on trees. And it does go back to the very beginning of, I mean, we've been doing this dance since, you know, three writers of at the Post and the Athletic ago. Like, at some point, I'd like to talk to one person that says the Nats might actually extend this guy. Like, ever? Maybe? I mean, they're not the Athletics. I have no interest in being the Athletics. And I don't want to be the Rays either. I'm happy to be the Rays, but I want to be the Rays with a checkbook.
Correct. You have to spend money at some point. And the case for extending CJ, as you said, is so simple. He is one of those, if not tier 1A, tier 1B, or tier 1C players that you need on a team. And even if you don't think he's your shortstop, fine. Even if you think Eli Willett's coming up is going to be great, fine. I can get on board with that as well. But they have to spend money at some point. And if you're not at least going to make the offer to a guy who, again, has seemed to enjoy playing in D.C., who has improved every season, who has been in that, again, elite class of hitters this season. If that's not someone you're interested in extending, who is, right? And I think ultimately the answer for the Nationals, if it's not CJ, you know, it's probably like a Cade Travalli or someone on the mound that you really believe in because of how strong your hitting development has been. But you need foundational pieces at a certain point. And so while I would still beat their drum and say that the Nationals trading CJ is not a bad idea per se, I think if you're going to play this out and not extend him, that is a bad idea.
I'm just thinking out loud, and I've given this next to no thought. But, I mean, analytic, like model organizations don't really pay pitchers or extend pitchers to an extent, do they? I guess the Rays did like a two-year deal with Rasmussen, but I wonder, I'm trying to remember if that was like based on arbitration or whatever. That would seem weird to me for them to pay an arm.
No, it is weird. I think that the reason why I bring it up is because they just feel so sound on the position player front that if you give Cade Cavalli another 2 years after ARB, then you're and you believe that he's a postseason arm, you lock that up. Again, the reason teams don't do it is obvious. Those guys get injured. It's a big risk. But with the lack of success that the Nationals have had on the mound, that's at least naturally where my mind might initially go. But you're exactly right that, like, Abrams is more of a sure thing or more of a sure bet that teams that are analytically driven usually take.
Spencer, this I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask this question, but this is generally a compliment to them, but it's just something I've noticed, and you're around the club more than I am. They seem to have been able to, this is Butera and Toboni and everybody under the sun, names that we don't know, they've been able to deliver some pretty bad news to guys and not have it ruffle feathers too often, right? Whether it's sending Cruz down for an extended time, you know, unceremoniously telling Brady House you got to go down and work on something, or, you know, guys getting called up to get kicked in for multiple innings and they're right back down on the farm. They've been able to do that and kind of keep the train on the tracks here. I know they've swooned here a little bit lately, but still way more competitive than we thought they'd be. They've kind of shown a way to be able to do that. This is probably the biggest withdrawal in that kind of space, if that makes any sense, telling CJ things he doesn't really want to hear probably, but I've kind of been amazed that they've been able to walk that line for long enough. Tag, you're it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what makes the timing of this all surprising, is from a communication standpoint, it's far from ideal. But, I mean, this is all stuff that I'm planning on writing before the season is over, right, where I'm hearing from players who have been in other orgs, like, how I was working out next to Paul in the weight room. Like, I've never had a GM, you know, be there and, you know, shoot the you-know-what with me. I've never had a, you know, manager send me down and right when I come back up, you know, instill the sort of confidence in me that I've had. I've, you know, all these sorts of things where it's like, it's not, there is a level of authenticity to it where that group can explain to the players, hey, we're not going to BS you. You know that we're doing this because we think it's in the best interest of the organization. And also, we're going to do everything that we can to get the very best out of you. Like, you look at a Dylan Cruz, even though he hasn't thrived up here, he went down to AAA, and the, you know, hitting coaches that worked down there with him, he fell in love with them. And you think about some of the pitchers that have come here and struggled. Simon Matthews has pumped all the confidence in the world into them. And so, you know, do I have a solid take here about whether the Nationals are like the best communicating org in baseball? Like, I don't know that I can go out and say that. But the strides that they've made on that front compared to what I at least had kind of seen and heard over the previous 2 years is more drastic than I can kind of even cover here.
Check out Spencer's piece. It's an exclusive in The Athletic. CJ Abrams not thrilled with change, agent says, but focus remains on Nationals is the headline, and you can go read the piece now. Spencer, before I let you go, Siever King's been killing the ball. He's one of the better hitters in the minors since the All-Star break. I want to say he's over 400 in his last 10. They're the opposite of whatever Mike Rizzo was when it comes to calling up prospects. Like, Yo-Yo Morales, you go hit 40 home runs, young man, but you ain't getting to the big leagues. You know what I'm saying? And I know he obviously hasn't been completely healthy in the second half, but I think I was reading one of your pieces recently, and the idea was, like, if he comes up in September, like, they still think he has work to do. What's he got to do? I mean, especially if shortstop's open. Nassim Nunez is a plus defender, and that's great, but there's zero reason in September not to have Siever King playing short. There's no way that wouldn't happen, right?
Again, I think it's most likely that he'll be up in September. The argument against it, if I'm forced to give it, is the chase rate, while improved, is still high and something that he's shown that he can improve over time, which could help in AAA. And you think about the 40-man considerations heading into the lockout and what that would mean for having him play in minor league games this year, being in contact with the org during the offseason. I guess that'd be the other element to think of if we don't see him up here. But to me, as you explicitly laid out, he just feels like the national shortstop in September. But again, that's not reported. That's just kind of my speculation.
Spencer, great stuff, my friend. Really good work on that article as well, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
He does a great job. Absolutely crushing it on the Nats beat. Spencer Nussbaum, go check him out in The Athletic. All right, want to hit some Commanders headlines on the way out here from today. Dan Quinn was on with the Junkies this morning, and he talked about the kicking battle being won by Drew Stevens. We know that they've now cut Jake Moody. Drew Stevens, the rookie from Iowa, got the job, and Quinn told the Junkies why they made the decision this early.
And he earned it. Uh-huh. So I would say you have a point.
So he earned it out here. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they've been going since, you know, the spring and then through the first couple weeks of camp. But we knew it had to go through the game process to get there, because Jake also, you know, had a good camp in terms of accuracy. But we felt, okay, this is the space that is time. Drew earned that. And now over the next couple weeks, he can get all the kicks, all the plays, all the reps. And so it was twofold. He had earned it, but he had to go through that process to get there.
You and I were super impressed with the young running backs. Mm-hmm. Robert Henry Jr., 75 yards and a touchdown. Katron Allen, 20-plus carries, 80-plus yards, and a score. The kids looked good. This was Dan Quinn on the two first-year RBs from their preseason debut against Miami.
Yeah, I like a number of things. Like, they're different in terms of play style, but they're both eager in terms of how they want to do things. You know, can they make an impact on special teams? So seeing Rob on the return side, seeing Katron as a lead blocker in the kickoff return side. I thought they've made an improvement in pass protection. So that's the stuff. And although Katron had a drop, I thought, in the game, like, he's got really good hands. He's demonstrated both of them can catch. And so that's a big deal, because now they're well-rounded guys. They've got pass protection down. They both got good hands coming out of the backfield. And so there's more reps and get them a chance to go do it.
Seems different hearing him say that than how they talked about Bill's pass pro last year, where they kept talking about him needing to work on it.
Uh-huh.
Very complimentary in that regard.
Yeah, I wonder what they thought about Allen's hands real quick, because he did drop that very catchable ball, and that was like, okay, that was your one chance. That looks bad, but they've got a bigger sample. That was encouraging for him to hear, for me to hear.
We started the show talking about how they weren't in pads today after 3 days off since the game, which was really surprising. So it'll only be one padded practice this week, meaning maybe they play starters against the Lions. And you were kind of saying you wanted more urgency and the camp to look a little bit different. You actually commented on that with the Junkies, where J.P. Flame brought up that last year, in hindsight, Quinn didn't think they did enough at training camp. I'm paraphrasing. Thought it needed to look different. They asked him if he feels they've accomplished that goal in camp this year.
Yeah, and I think you'll feel that today in terms of what we were looking to do. I thought going, you know, after the offseason, could they come back into, like, in training camp, like, in crazy shape where we didn't have to play our way into shape? That was going to be like, and so seeing the guys come back, I felt that, which allowed these systems to get underway. The practices have been the most competitive we've had in our, you know, 3 years here together. There's a lot of position battles, but just, you know, the elevated competition, they're in shape, some depth at a lot of positions makes, like, every rep, man, it's on.
So I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or a jerk, I promise. When he says, I think you'll feel that today, I didn't feel that at all today. Like, today was one of their lighter practices where they didn't do a ton and they weren't wearing pads. So it's almost like Dan Quinn didn't talk to Dan Quinn before he game planned today. He's like, you're going to feel that with all the stuff we do today. And then they did, like, a punting period and a kicking period and jogged through the first half of the practice, it felt like. So I don't feel that about the whole camp. He could have said that before the joint practice against the Dolphins, or there were a lot of days even when it was just themselves practicing where he could say, you're going to feel that. And I'd be like, yeah, this was a hell of a practice. Today was not one of those days, though. So the way he was talking about today and what actually happened were not the same to me. And I don't know if that was indicative of just the weather or what, but I don't know. To me, it was one of the most laid-back days I've been out there for the entire camp.
Right. Are you hanging your head on that one? Like, maybe you planned on going harder, but then somebody slipped and you go, okay, we got to take it easy. I don't know what I don't know, but just, I don't, so many days off, so many non-going hard times. I can't get over it. I mean, this to me is the story once again. If a guy plays a quarter, two possessions, whatever, it's the totality. I understand where the league is going. I also understand that not everybody finished 5-12 doing something that only one other team this millennium has done, losing four games by an average of 25 points per week. Like, I want urgency. Last year, I didn't get it. I didn't get urgency. I got Joe Witt. He was down here. Now he's going to sit up there. That's what I got while they were losing nine straight games and getting embarrassed on a weekly basis. Where is the fire under your butt to make sure that it never happens again?
Toby's got overtime coming your way next right here on The Fan. He's an all-timer. Make sure you're listening to Tobe Vertime. For Darris and Toby and Strobes, Grant and Danny saying so long. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.